Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. The lights look beautiful. I know some of you haven't had a chance to go around campus yet. I just want to say a big thank you to my son, Skyler, and the light crew that, we have almost 3 million lights right now. We own more than 3 million lights. We haven't, they're not all up yet. So we have approximately 3 million lights out there right now. So I want to say a big thank you. And once again, like I said, if you're watching online, wherever you might be, if you'll come to campus, we have the lights on from 5:30 p.m. till 11:30 p.m. all the way through January the 2nd. So if you're somewhere, near Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, maybe you live in Arkansas or Missouri or California, come on out. I know California's not close, but, it's worth the drive, all right? We are one of the top Christmas light displays in the nation, and so it's worth the drive to come on out. Also, I do want to let you know about my podcast. Tomorrow happens to be Thanksgiving, and so we're releasing a very special Thanksgiving podcast tomorrow or tonight sometime. I'll release it, and you guys are probably sleeping. Probably in the middle of the night we'll release it. Someone said they woke up at 4:30 in the morning and noticed I posted 2 hours ago on Facebook. So, you never know what time I might post on Facebook. Amen. Well, tonight's sermon is, we had the lights on celebration. Channel 6 was here. Actually, Channel 6 started doing lights on in 1993. The lights actually started in 1982, and Channel 6 started in 1993, and Jim Giles was weatherman at that time, and he did it all the way till he retired. And then Travis Meyer has been there, and so we want to thank them for coming on out and for doing our lights on celebration with us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time. But tonight's sermon that I have is, I don't always give a title, but it's Be a Light to Your World. We need to be a light to our world. Going to John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus said this. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, one of the reasons that we do the Christmas lights is the reason we started doing the Christmas lights in 1982, many of you, I don't know how many of you were here in 1982, but 1982, you realize that Tulsa used to be the oil capital of the world. In 1982, there was an economic crunch and all kinds of stuff, and a lot of folks lost their job, and there was a lot of heartache going on. And we decided there were some other Christmas displays that actually in 1982 they decided not to have anymore because of economic downturn. So we put up 60,000 lights on campus, and really it was a gift to Broken Arrow here where we live in the Tulsa community, just by simply saying, we love you guys, and we want to show forth the light to the world. And we continue to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. And now we have 3 million Christmas lights. And, it's just a way to show that Jesus is still the light of the world. And, and during this holiday season, whenever you drive by campus, you can't go by campus without seeing the lights. And every time you see the lights, we want you to remember that not only is Jesus the light of the world, he still is the light of the world, and you now have become the light of the world as we show Jesus, to this lost and dying and hurting world. In fact, over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, it says this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I don't know how many remember in children's church, we used to sing a song called "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Anyone ever sing that in children's church, And we would say, "Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine." Now, I don't know what a bushel is. I guess it's a bushel of stuff. I don't know. But, we're going to let our light shine. But it seems that, once we get out of children's church, maybe our light doesn't shine as bright sometimes. When we're doing the things of the world, we don't really shine a bright light sometimes. But it's up to us to show forth Jesus to this lost and dying and hurting world. Now, obviously, over the last year and a half, there's been a lot of devastation, in the world. And there's been a lot of people that have gone through all kinds of emotions and depressions and lost people, but lost loved ones. But you realize that every holiday season, they say people are more depressed during the holiday season than any other time of year. And so I think it's especially important for us Christians to be a light to the world during the holiday season. Especially, this year and even last year, because a lot of people have lost a lot of loved ones. And one of the toughest things is going through a holiday season when you recently lost a loved one. You know, even if it's been years, you tend to think about your loved ones more when there's an empty place at the table where dad used to sit or grandpa used to sit or brother used to sit and things like that, And a lot of people go through a lot of depression and things. In fact, here are the common things that people go through during the holiday season that creates some, people freaking out. Actually, stress is the number one thing, all right? I mean, sometimes it's really kind of crazy. If people are having stress over holiday parties and cooking and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be okay, all right? Fatigue. People, I know that there'll probably be a lot of ladies, especially a lot of guys will be sleeping great tonight, and a lot of ladies will be getting up early in the morning or starting to cook their turkeys and their pies and all kinds of things that don't go on my diet. But anyway, another thing people have during the holiday season is unrealistic expectations. Financial stress. And I'm going to tell you, with inflation, there is more financial stress. I mean, people, some people have lost their jobs and different things like that. And then the inability to be with one's family and friends. It's a tough time for some people. But, something else I was reading about loneliness, it says 11% of all Americans feel extremely lonely, during the holiday season. That's more than one out of every 10 Americans. So if you have 9 friends, there's a good chance that one of you are feeling more lonely during the holiday season. Now, what's even more interesting is it says that 7 in 10 Americans, so 70% of all Americans, feel some loneliness during the holiday season. Sometimes it's because people don't have a significant other to hang out with or they don't have family to hang out with. But, if we're supposed to be a light to the world, it's up to us to go and show forth the goodness of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and hurting world. And I think that more than ever, especially during the holiday season, but not even during holiday season, during all times, we should always be mindful that there are people out there that are hurting. And a lot of times we get so busy in our own little world, we forget about everybody else. We forget about, what's going on. I mean, I was actually, a couple months ago, I was preaching in Washington State, and right by my hotel, there was a CVS, and I went over to get some bottled water and a couple of low-carb snacks, because I get hungry on a low-carb diet. So the person in front of me paying for they had a couple of groceries and things like that, they're counting out change, all right? And they're counting out all this change and stuff, and they're like, they were like 40 cents short, And they're like, hang on, I got more change in my car. I'm like, here. Like, I actually gave him a $5 bill because I didn't have a dollar bill. And I said, keep the change. Honestly, it's I didn't really want to wait for them to go get their stuff out of the car anyway, even if they had the 40 cents in their car. But you could tell that they were down the change. You know, and so I had the wherewithal to not only give him a $5 bill, but tell him to keep the change. You know, and just that little small act of kindness. I mean, they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it wasn't even Merry Christmas. It was just, you know, Happy September 1st or something like that. I don't know. You know, but I mean, you know, sometimes we never know what people are going through. We never know, you know, and sometimes we're not even paying attention to what people are going through because we're so busy caught up in our own stress and our own this and our own that. But, you know, we should be a light to the world. Now, how are we a light? You know, understanding when we're being a light to the world, what we're doing is we're letting Jesus be a light to the world through us. It's Jesus. He's still the light of the world. We just become, you know, his hands and his feet. Now, I like what it says, and it talks about Jesus in Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. You know, it always sticks out in my mind, the first thing that Jesus did was he did good. Well, what do you mean doing good? That means he was like a really nice person. He was a loving person. You know, I mean, you know, he wasn't rude. You know, he was a loving person. And I think we being Christians, we should be a loving person. We should show forth a loving heart to a lost and dying and hurting world. Because you realize if people know you're a Christian and you're rude to people all the time, they're going to like, I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like her. I mean, you know, I don't want to be, I mean, this guy's always in a bad mood. I mean, how can you be in a bad mood when the greater one lives on the inside of you? Now, I get it. We all face circumstances in life that tries to get us in a bad mood. But we have to overlook what's coming out the outside and look on the inside. Greater is he in me than he is in the world. And like, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. It doesn't matter that I filled up my tank the other day and it cost a whole lot more money to fill my tank up. All right? You know, you say, well, what do you mean it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter because my God shall supply all of my need according to the riches and the glory, because that's what the Bible says. Amen. And so you might as well quit griping and start confessing. See, so many of us, I've heard a lot of people gripe here recently. And you know, I don't care why the economy is doing what it doesn't matter. You can blame whoever you want to blame. But ultimately, what matters is that my God still shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because what the Bible says, Philippians, you know, in Philippians, it says that. All right? You know, but I feel sorry for the people who don't know my God. The people who don't know my Jesus. The people who don't have a hope. And that's why the motto of this church is to bring hope, help, and healing to the world. Now see, your world might not be the world. All right? You know, the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. But you know what? Yes, some of us, we used to travel overseas quite a bit, not as much here recently, but anyway, you know, travel to the world, but your world is who you're around, who you work with, who you live around. That's your world. And you have, I believe you have a responsibility as a born again Christian to go be a light to your world, the people that you have contact with on a daily basis. I mean, I think it's your responsibility. In fact, my grandfather, he said, I never one time, Brother Hagin said, not one time ever did he ever pray that God would bless him. But every day, every morning, whenever he did his morning devotions, he would pray and he would ask God. He says, God, help me be a blessing to somebody today. Help me be a blessing. And so many of us, you know, and I get it, you know, we all want to be blessed. But, you know, it's more blessed to give than receive anyway. I mean, we should pray that God will send someone across our path on a daily basis that we can be a blessing to. That we can be a blessing to. You know, my wife said this, actually, she was talking to someone today, someone's working on her house, and she was saying, you know what, it is interesting, she's talking about, you know, what the world says, pay it forward, you know, and it's really awesome to pay for someone's coffee or to buy someone's, you know, meal or, you know, just be a blessing to somebody. But my wife said this, you know, I was actually... Today, I was in the other room putting this message together, and I heard him tell this gentleman, she goes, you know, people pay for my coffee all the time. And I don't know how many times she was like, hey, I went to Starbucks today, and someone paid for my coffee. Somebody else was being a blessing. But you know what? I also started thinking about it. You know, the more you confess something, the more it's going to happen. She keeps confessing people paying for my coffee all the time. And in fact, you know, it's been actually hard because of newer technology. She said, I tried to pay for somebody else's coffee, but everybody else had already paid for their coffee online. And they're just picking it up, you know. Now, I always tell people not to go to Starbucks every day because they waste too much money. But anyway, she still does anyway because she didn't always listen to me. But I will say my mom every year, at Christmas time, I get a $100 Starbucks card for the year. All right. I did run out 2 weeks ago. So it did take 11 months, and I ran out of my $100 at Starbucks. So someone gave me a $15 gift certificate the other day for Starbucks, not Star Wars, Starbucks. You know, it's awesome to be a blessing. It's awesome to, you know, I mean, I don't know. There's been times that you've been at restaurants or whatever, I just felt led to pay for someone's food. Someone I didn't even know. Just, I don't know, just feel led. Or even sometimes you feel led to tell somebody something, you know, and it's so awesome how good God is. But you know what? The best thing that we could ever give anybody, you know, during the holiday season is Jesus. Is Jesus. You know, John 3:16, which happens to be the first memory verse I ever learned, I think I was seven, that I at least I ever remember I'd learned. I got a sucker for learning that, you know. I was at my grandfather's church in Southside Assembly in Garland, Texas. Anyway, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, one of the best gifts that we can do is Jesus. God gave us Jesus, but one of the best gifts we can give to somebody else is we can give them Jesus. We could share our Jesus with them. You know, and a lot of times for some reason it seems that people don't want to talk about, you know, it seems that one thing they always tell you, never talk about religion and politics. Because, you know, people get all upset about that. That's all I ever talk about, religion and politics, by the way. But anyway, that's a whole other side. I'm kind of different. I'm the, you know. But, I mean, it's more important that you talk about religion. Not necessarily religion, because Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right? I got that from my grandfather's, actually, on one of his DVDs or CDs. I think it was the Name of Jesus CD that he talked about, that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, and that's what we need to talk about is, you know what? I know you're having anxiety because of all the things that are going on, but I'm not, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. You know, I know that who's with me. I know who's providing for me. And so I'm going to give you three quick steps on how to be a light during this holiday season. First of all, we have to recognize open doors. You know, now in order to recognize open doors, we have to, you realize if all your life that you're either here or here or here, you're probably not looking around and seeing people around about you. And I know I'm probably the worst on the cell phone. So, I mean, I'm talking to the choir here. But the thing about it is we need to pay attention Because if we're really believing God that we'll have an opportunity to minister to people, we need to pay attention to people. You know, every day you have an opportunity to be a light in someone's life. But we often get too busy with our own schedule and our own to-do list that we miss the simple opportunities each day. You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, wherever you might be. Maybe you're in a restaurant, maybe you're on an online conversation, somebody on Facebook, someone, you know, on Twitter or whatever, you know, someone mentions they had a bad day. You know, it's an opportunity to lighten their day, to talk about Jesus. You know, to talk about, you know, said, you know, maybe you're having a bad day, but have I told you about Jesus Christ? I tell you, you know, now here's the thing. If you're a Christian, and I'm not trying to pick on you, but we shouldn't be having a bad day as a Christian, because this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. And most of you can quote that, so why don't you live it? How can you have a bad day when the greater one lives on the inside of you? The only reason you're having a bad day is because you're letting the outside define you. It is interesting, which I didn't have time to read all these tips, but I read a number of holiday tips in order to keep less stress and less things in life. You know, one of the holiday tips, this was on a normal news, you know, thing. It says, quit watching the news. It actually said that, and this was like from some magazine or whatever. It says, quit watching the news broadcasts. Because a lot of times, do you realize that when the news talks about bad things, it's more popular to talk about bad things than it is good things. You know what? But we should think about great things. I mean, Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what He's done for us. Now, point number two is, you know, we have to recognize the open door, but it's one thing to recognize it, another thing to act upon it. Because a lot of times we see something, but we're like, oh, no, you know, maybe, you know, I don't want to talk to a stranger. I mean, I learned when I was a kid, don't talk to strangers, so I'm not going to talk to that person. We have to realize that opportunities present themselves, but we have to decide, and this author says, you're going to man up and go talk to that person. You know, because there is a sometimes you'll miss your opportunity. You know, now you can woman up too, I guess. You know, this happened to be a man who wrote this. He was like, you know, saying that so many times that he's felt led that he should go talk to this person, and then he misses it because, he was too afraid. You know, he thought that that person might think he was weird. You know, I mean, there's been times or you see someone at a restaurant, I don't know, and you feel led to say something about, you know what, God loves you. And, you know, sometimes that can start a whole conversation. You know, and sometimes the conversation can start bad and go good if you know how to do it. You know, because, like I said, there's a lot of people that are going through a lot of tough time during this holiday season. Or they're thinking about, now, you know, so, another tip it said during the holiday season was, you know, when you're missing your loved ones, think about the good times you had with them. You know, like I said, especially on a time like Thanksgiving, let's be thankful for the time we had. You know, with them and the memories that we made, that you made together with them, and, you know, think about the good times. But point number one was recognize open doors. Point number two is act in the moment. Point number three is always point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. You know, it's, you know, you have to talk to them about who Jesus is. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, hey, would you just come to my church, you know, because I don't know much about. No, you should know. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you should know about who Jesus is. I mean, you should know that how much He's changed your life and you know, and how much that, you know, that he can change your life as well. I mean, point him to Jesus. Now, you know, what a lot of people are going through during the holiday season is anxiety. You know, and it's interesting, whenever you go through something that you have a scripture for, why are you going through something you have a scripture for? I mean, I've never figured this out. Well, maybe because my grandfather always taught me to know the word. He said actually the number one problem with folks and why they're going through situations, they don't know what the word of God says about it. Well, you know, we know Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So that means stress out about nothing. There is no time in your life, according to God's word, that you should have stress, according to his word. Now, I know that sounds like, you know, that's like a pipe dream, Craig. No, that's like a God thing. It's like a God thing. You know, my grandfather said, I'm a stickler for the word. And the word says to be anxious for nothing. The New Living Translation says this, don't worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. How clear is that? That's pretty crystal clear. It's the word of God. Now, my grandfather always said that God says it. I believe it. That settles it for me. Do not worry about anything. It's pretty simple. Instead, he says this, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, New Living Translation says, but pray about everything. With thanksgiving, we talked about this on Sunday, our Thanksgiving message, that, you know, when we pray about things, we it says, let your requests be known to God or tell him what you need. And then when you tell him what you need, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, if you continue to have anxiety, you're not doing what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you have anxiety, tell him what you need, thank him for what he's done, and then have peace. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen and why. What's going to happen is once that peace comes in, the devil, El Diablo, the thief, is going to try to come in and say, hey, you shouldn't have peace right now because this is going on, that's going on, you should have stress, you should have anxiety, and that's when you have to, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's, and see, these are things that we need to tell people who are going through all kinds of this stuff. Hey, you know, the Bible says that you shouldn't be stressed out. Really? Yeah. Philippians 4:6. It says, don't be stressed out. And if you want to live, the New Living Translation says, don't worry about anything. And so, really? I didn't know that's what the Bible said. I mean, you know, a lot of times people only hear Old Testament scriptures. They don't ever get to the New Testament scriptures. You know, but it says, don't worry about anything. But what should we do? We should pray about everything. Tell him what we need. It's not that hard. Just tell God what you need. And then we should have peace. Now, you know what? It doesn't stop there. Verse number 8 goes on. It says, this is how to continually have peace after you get peace. You know, it's one thing to get peace, another thing to keep having peace, because the devil will try to steal your peace and steal your joy. And in fact, that's what happens a lot of times in holiday season, because maybe you've lost a loved one or maybe you've gone through some stuff and you finally, you know, kind of conquer that mountain, and then the holiday season starts coming up and the devil starts reminding you about how depressed you should be and, you know, how you should worry about stuff and, you know, how you don't have enough money to give presents to everybody. You know what? It's not about giving the best presents in the world. It's not about outgiving somebody else. Do you realize the holiday season is about just being there, you know, as a family? You know, and, you know, it's no big deal. You know, the best presents my kids can give me is just being there. I don't care about stuff. I got more stuff than what I need anyway. The bad thing about it is whenever you have a lot of stuff and your mom's trying to find stuff that you don't need to give you, because you have everything else. You know, then you get these gadgets, you know, that nobody needs. Stuff we sell in the bookstore that I always make fun of, you know, I get those kind of things for Christmas, you know. Stuff that nobody needs, but everyone buys, you know. So, Mama, I don't need one of those fluffy pillow things that I was told to men's conference. I don't really need one of those. Anyway, it goes on to say, finally, brethren, what things are true, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So basically, Paul was telling the church of the Philippians church was to meditate on all the good things. If you start thinking about all the good things, you're not going to think about the bad things. You know, just simply meditate on everything that's good. You know what's good? Is that Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow, is what the song says. Because he lives, all fear is gone. You know, I read someone said this on Facebook the other day. You know, a lot of things on Facebook I don't really care about, but this was a pretty good statement. Do you realize that your God knows your future better than you know your past? He knows your future better than you even know your past. And you know, it's holiday time. You know, it's supposed to be the best time of the year or whatever. But we need to be mindful that there are people that are hurting every holiday season and all throughout the year. And we need to look for that open door to share the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and hurting world. Because people are looking for hope, help, and healing. You know, they're looking for somebody who knows something to help them. And if we want to, the way to be a light to the world is actually to be a light to the world. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Go out and be a blessing to somebody. I mean, you don't ever know. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, you know, I'll talk to anybody, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, there are some times, you know, that I'm always in a good mood. Why should I be in a bad mood? The greater one lives on the inside of me. I mean, there are times that if I walk through the store, if any person looks me in the eye when I'm walking to the store, I say hi to them. I don't care if they know me or not. I don't really care. Why not? And sometimes just by saying hi to somebody makes them feel better. You know, especially like more last year than this year, when people want to be 6 feet apart from everybody, they don't want to be close to someone, I walk by and say, hi. You're actually going to talk to me? Of course. You know, a lot of people are you know, feeling lonely. And I tell you what, man, I got the light of Jesus on the inside of me. You know, I know that we see the lights on the outside, but the real light is on the inside of us. And we should let our light shine to a lost and dying and hurting world. So this holiday season, don't get caught up in all the, you know, whatever you're trying to do, but do like my grandfather, and every day pray that you can be a blessing to somebody and someone will come across your path that you can share the love of Jesus Christ to. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for each and every person that's in this room, each and every person that's watching online. And Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us during this holiday season to be a light to this lost and dying and hurting world. And Father God, we thank you if anyone is, whether you're here or whether you're watching online, that's going through a tough time right now. We just thank you that as we read these scriptures in Philippians, to not have anxiety about anything, but to pray about everything. That at that point in time, the peace of God that passes all understanding will overtake you. And Father God, we just pray right now that you're ministering to these lives and these hearts that are hurting, Father. We just thank you, Father, that you're touching them, that you're helping them. And Father God, we just thank you that the peace of God will be up all over them, Father. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for these wonderful group of people, Father, and we thank you that you help them have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen.